7. iRadio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
You know what we're blessed by? We just noticed that Sue Martin, our special events coordinator, just came in. Hiya, Sue.
Well, hello.
Good stuff. The reason why... Normally, Sue doesn't come in on my shows because she's doing the other shift, but what goes on now today, our worldwide audience of 74 cities and countries, and it looks like, hello, Ireland, and hello, folks in Budapest that are listening to us right now. There's a good reason why you're doing that, and especially all the folks that are still with us from the proceedings that we had in Monroe, Michigan today about Milan, is because you want to be hanging around for this gentleman, and of course, you do. There are so many people that drag race, and there are so many people that do nostalgia stuff, but there is very, very few people that can put it all together and put on a show like very few others. What happened was that Sue and I were walking around the Nostalgia Nats last year at Milan Dragway. Remember that place? And we said, this guy is outstanding. We have to find him. And so we went over hell and high water, tried to do it. We knocked all the fans out of the way. We waited for all of his autograph sessions to be ended with. And it is John Densky with the Rotten Orange Chevy 2 Gasser who puts on a show, kids. If you don't go to a drag race anywhere, when you see John, run, wake the kids, grab the neighbors, let's go, and go see him. Hiya, John. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you doing?
Just fine. How is your spring so far?
Well, the springtime's rolling around. The weather's not quite participating exactly right, but the springtime is here, and it's a whole lot better than being cold.
Yeah, man, it is. Now, we've had it from a little birdie that there may be a new Rotten Orange hanging around.
Uh-oh, that little birdie might have been telling the truth. I thought I kept it a little bit more secret than that. But, yeah, we've got another one. Should be coming out this summer here, and we've just decided to up the ante a little bit and see if we can make some more bigger smoke and bigger fire and bigger noise.
All right, so what fine Chrysler will you be having?
This is going to be another Chevrolet 1963 Nova. This one here is going to be an extremely large motor in it, not a big tire car, and it should make huge power. We should be able to go out there and really rattle the seats in the fan seats, if you will, you know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the difference between the car that you have right now and the one that you'll be doing is going to be what? Power wise,
well, first of all, there's 1,000 pounds weight difference between the two cars. This new car is going to have a much, much bigger motor. Everything on the car was done and done very, very, very well and professionally. It's going to be making a lot more power. It's going to be going faster. We're going to be getting big miles an hour. And I think we're going to tip the can and put a little nitro in this one.
Wait. Nitrous oxide or nitro?
Nitro methane, my friend. We've got a 55-gallon barrel of it in the back of the garage there, and it's just itching to get in the gas tank, and we're itching to put it in there.
Nitro methane, kiddies, is just about as good as a nice, cold, diet orange Faygo on a warm day. Oh, my God. What made you, John, think about going this route?
Well, we've experimented around with it for a few years, and I just really like the performance. I love the smell. I love the flames. I love the smoke. And I love to put a show on. All those ingredients, when you add a barrel of nitro to it, you can make them all come true in a big way, I'll tell you.
Yes, you do. Okay, so now everybody around here, Susan, you want to put a guess in on what kind of car is 1,000 pounds heavier than a Chevy 2?
Oh, this is 1,000 pounds lighter than a Chevy
2. Oh, 1,000 pound lighter.
Yes, we're going the other way with it. We got to go faster, not slower.
Yeah, okay, because I was thinking, oh my God, he's got a school bus. Okay, good.
No.
All right, so let's go backward. So, all right, Sue, you want to get in? You want to get in on this one?
What color is it?
Well, right now it's in primer. I'm gonna leave the paint scheme up to everybody's imagination. But believe me, we've come up with a name and a paint scheme on this car that has never been seen before, And when it comes out, it'll be a one-of-a-kind car. You will have never seen another Chevy 2 Nova like this.
See, color's important.
All right, so now we get... All right, so somehow, some way, we got a Chevy 2 Nova. It's still a Nova body. All right, you writing this down? Because we're going to have to put all these clues together. Okay? I mean, you know what we should do? We probably offer somebody, like, a free six-pack of a Diet Orange Faygo. If you can come up with what car John Densky is going to be campaigning this year... So it's 1,000 pounds less than a Chevy 2. Okay, that means you don't have a door slammer car, which means you either have a flopper or, let's see, you did say Chevy 2 because that throws away front engine dragster. Okay.
Yep. It's going to be another Chevy 2, and it's going to be outrageous. This I promise you. I'm going to keep a little bit under wraps. I don't want to let it all go right now, but. Believe me, once we get this one out to the track, we will rattle your eardrums.
You know, you are head of our special events coordinator, right?
Yes.
All right. Let us see if we can't get something together about guess John's car. And
sure.
Somebody who is the closest, when are you going to bring it out, John? Sometime this summer if everything goes right?
Everything goes right. It should be out mid-summer.
All right. So let's do this. Let's try to get something together. Brainstorm, do it in production meeting Monday, and we'll brainstorm it of what car is does John have? What kind of car? You know, the closest to him, we'll give him a prize somehow. We'll give him, you know, they get to ride in John's car on the bumper, you know, for a while. You know, John, how long have you been in drag racing? Because we understand too from another little birdie that you were in a higher class, that you were in heads up at one time.
Oh, we used to run the heads-up race in a drag radio class. I've had funny cars. I've had alters. I've had supercharged motors. And we've been running a lot of different classes over the years. I've been doing it now since 2001. And I probably had about 15 cars to within that time frame there. But, this new one will definitely, it's going to be totally different than anybody has ever seen before. This, I promise.
Are you going to be racing Steve Tomosek?
I don't know if I've got enough for old Steve over there. He's had some pretty big load in that car over there. So I'm gonna say we're going to leave Steve alone for sure.
Okay. All right. So maybe we throw away funny car. All right. So let's – it's almost like a Mad Lib. We just have to, like, cross out things. And then by the time we get to the bottom, maybe we get close. John, how long have you been drag racing? You said since what, 2000?
I started in the year 2000. Yeah, I was just – I would go to the – to the races as a fan, and I always wanted to do it. And when the opportunity became available, it all started out on a slot machine down there at the casino and a little bit of winnings, and I bought my first funny car the very next day.
So instead of Johnny Rotten, why aren't you Lucky John?
Well, Rotten fits me a whole lot better. And if you're in the other lane, you would understand perfectly well why they call me Johnny Rotten.
All right, yeah, but we saw the way that you raced, and which is really one of the major reasons why you're here. All right, so if you started in 2000 and you went through 15 cars already, what do you have, a car a year almost?
Something like that. Sometimes a couple of years we were campaigning three cars.
Three
that was a handful.
Cars?
But, hey, you can't get away from a good thing. When you find something that fits you, you got to keep on going with it, you know, and... I don't know. We like to go fast. We like to put a show on. We love the people in racing. We love the fans. We love the competition. We love the other drivers. It's just the whole ball game is a great place to be. And we love being there, and we're going to continue being there.
Three cars. That must have been a hell of a pull on that machine.
Tell me about it. It was a hell of a pull on my wallet, too. But, you know... It didn't stop us. We just keep on going with it, and the more we do, the more we like what we do. And we just really, the best thing about this is the fun that we have and the people we meet. It just can't be matched anywhere.
John, favorite track that you raced on?
Oh, boy, there's a whole lot of good ones. You know, of course, my home track, Milan. It's a soft spot in my heart. I love the track. I love the people there. And I get a lot of home-based fans that come out there. So I'm going to have to say Milan would be my favorite track in the world to race on. I've been to a lot of tracks. We've been to the big tracks. We've been to the small tracks. And all in all, I think the fan base is what makes my mind up. I think Milan was the track I love the most.
second one would be?
That would have to be maybe Marion County out in Ohio, just a little backwoods track. the friendliest people you'll ever meet, and it's just a great time going out there.
I mean, we're talking a hometown track kind of thing, nothing with 50,000 people in the seats?
I'm talking about bleachers at a whole 40 people total capacity. And I'm talking you got to drive through cornfields and pass Amish buggies the whole way there because there's not a party store within miles.
Wow.
But yeah, it's out in the woods.
How did you find that place?
Well, our group, the Great Lakes Bassers, we used to run out there in our series. And that track, back in the 70s, it hosted a lot of great funny car races, really good funny car races. It's kind of been forgotten now a little bit, but they still host the good races out there. It's just it's a drive to get there, and you're in the middle of nowhere. But we saw 30 car funny car shows out there, and it was fabulous. We were part of it, and it was just a fabulous track to run at.
Can this track still run? I mean, obviously, it may be a little bit different now that it's a hometown track, but I mean, it was an old quarter mile track.
Yes, quarter mile track. And I'll tell you, we walked the track. When I first walked the track, I was real questionable whether I wanted to go out here and make a 175, 200-mile-an-hour pass.
Yeah.
But one guy got brave, and he said, watch me. And as soon as he got off the track, we all came back, got our cars, and went down the track. We just had a ball that night. I think we raced like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning out there, and it was just a – there's nobody out there to bother with the noise, so there's no limits or curfews. And, oh, we had a blast.
Amazing. God bless you that you could find that place in between all the cornfields.
Well, just follow the Amish buggies and you'll find it. It's out there.
Yeah, and I can about imagine racing that late. Well, thank God they had lights. Did they have lights?
I think they had a couple of portable lights. They were the rent-a-kind, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right, yeah.
With the portable generators, but it was enough light to get the track and hey, we all had a good time. We had a safe time, and everybody had fun. There wasn't a loser in the crowd.
Do you know, John, do you like racing at night better than day?
Yes, I do. I do. And it just it adds to the thrill of racing in my eyes. It really, truly does. Sometimes when you're going that fast and you can't see where you're going, it gives you a little bit more of a thrill. So,
okay. Well, we know that you had, when you were running Heads Up, that you had an accident that kind of said, this is unusual. I mean, you had people coming up to you, and they had to check you out in the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. We got the little ride, and we got to go for a ride in the ambulance that night. But I didn't get hurt. I got a little wedgie from the seatbelts in an unmentionable area. But other than that, my car didn't fare out too well after that.
That was the story over a couple of beers because we said, look, we got coming up, John Densky's going to be with us, and we did this. When the places open up? In March? February?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
So we said, look, here's kind of our lineup of people that we got coming up. Does anybody know any stories about these folks? And, oh, there was a couple of John Densky hands that went up and said, you have to ask him about when he put it in the wall, when the ETM lady came up and said, I got to check you out.
Yeah, that was a little embarrassing. You know, the bad thing, it was a Saturday night and the track was loaded. It was wall to wall with people. When I got out of the car, they have what's called a crotch strap in these cars, not just a shoulder harness and a lap harness, but you got a crotch strap. That's the one that got me. And the lady came up and grabbed me and started trying to get me to run away from the car because it was getting ready to catch fire. And told her, nah, I think we got to walk real, real slow here and just take our time. She asked me where I was hurting, and I said, if we get back to the ambulance, we could talk about it, but not here in front of the crowd. No way.
Yeah, but talk about a showman. Think about a showman you would have been.
Well, I don't think I want to be a showman that bad.
Yeah, but think about the posters you could have been signing in about a year. Good Lord, man, you could have been in Playgirl's centerfold next month.
Yeah, with bruises and unmentionable places, but other than that.
Yeah, but what a man. And he walked away from it. John, way to go. You know, if you like working driving at night, does it get a little more squirrely because the track could get some little bit dew depending on the year? I mean, during the part of the year, I should say?
Absolutely, yeah. You've got to take that into consideration. The dew is a big consideration. You've got to take that. You've got to keep that in mind. You know, I'd like to say we take it easy at night, but I'm going to be honest with you, we don't. I like pouring it to it and just seeing where the car will go with it and holding it in place. And it's just, it adds to the thrill of racing.
Yeah, but I mean, talk about the adrenaline that you could almost feel. One of the reasons why we found you out, it was because you're almost the ambassador of what drag racing should still be. I mean, people like yourself, there's plenty of them out there, and a lot of them would like to tell you about their fuel map on their tune that they did on their, you know, drag radial car, and that's nice, but that does little for getting people into the track. You, on the other hand, seem to go on the different route of not only am I going to do this car for you know, with the American flag and the whole nine yards going down the track, but I mean, you don't baby your Chevy 2.
No, not at all. That car was made for one thing and one thing only, and we go out there and we make it do that thing. We really do. We push it, and everybody in our group pushes their cars down those tracks. We like to put a show on. We like when people come up and talk to us and look our cars over and ask questions. That's what makes us do it. And the harder you push it, the more fans you get come talking to you.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, for people who have never seen your car before or the show that you put on before, you want to describe it to the worldwide audience? Don't get worried or nervous about it.
You really think there's somebody that hadn't seen my car yet?
Surprisingly so. Evidently, the folks, we can take a look at the folks in Brazil that are listening to you right now, probably hasn't seen the Rotten Orange yet.
It's an orange 1963 Chevrolet Nova. It's all steel and all glass. We're running Ford 9-inch rear end, 572 cubic inch motor in it, mechanically fuel injected with a supercharger, 871. We like to run a little nitro, a little batch of nitro in there anyways. We don't take a big load, but we take enough of a load that people know what we're doing. And when we pull up in the lanes over there, we generally get everybody coming out of their cars and getting up to the lanes to watch us. You just don't know what's going to happen when you let go of it.
Yeah, especially yours. I mean, depending how many times you put it on the bumper back there, I mean, you get a little bit airborne where NASA probably wants to talk to you.
You know, well, I do have a blinking light up there for the airplanes just in case. But other than that, the worst wheelie I ever did with that car, when the car finally did land on the ground, I didn't have any tires at all on the front end. They were both dangling off the brake lines. It snapped everything off, and going down the track with no front tires, it's kind of a funny feeling.
Yeah, it's hard to turn.
It's real hard to turn. You look really dumb when you're trying to turn the steering wheel because the car keeps on going straight.
Yeah. I mean, when you went, was that the highest you went up and it just came down hard, or did it just come down wrong?
Well, quite honestly, it was the first time we ever put nitro in the car. I made four very easy passes with it, and it was running a record number, so I thought on the fifth pass, we're going to let this thing rip. And I went through two gears, and it got to a point I thought it was going to come over backwards on me. So, but when she came down, she snapped both the front tires off, and I slid down the track on my front axle, and it was a moment to behold.
Yeah, because as soon as you come down, you go 300, 400, 8,000, how much more now? All right, now, that track was where at?
That was Milan Dragway.
Oh, that was Milan too?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, this year aside, how many times do you go to Milan to race as opposed to other places?
Well, Milan being a home track is our local track, so I do all of my testing out there. We generally run 4 to 5 events. The Great Lakes Gassers group do at Milan Dragway. So that's pretty much our home base track, besides the tracks we go out to. I've been down that track, I can honestly tell you, over 1,000 times now in my career, and even when the tires broke off, I never had a bad pass. That's what I tell people.
I mean, is that, at any given time, John, did that ever concern you? I mean, was there one ride where you go, maybe I should sit on a chair in front of the fire?
I haven't had one of those rides yet, but I think this new car might present the opportunity.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, here he goes. It's guest John's car. All right, so we got that rocking. The first time you put it up, you know, did you say, you know what, this with this new car, because did you have a wheel sanding car before this one?
Yeah, that Mustang I had, that would pretty much put it on the back bumper every single pass we made with it. We weren't allowed to have wheelie bars in the class, and we were running heavy loads of nitrous with it. So that car would pretty much get up in the air every single pass.
I mean, the first time that you had to do it, you didn't have to do it, but I mean, it just kind of mechanically does. I mean, what are you thinking when it starts going a little bit higher than you think?
Oh, hell, that's easy. I run back to the trailer, fill it up with gas, and put more nitro in it. I want to go up a little bit more, man. It's a great feeling. It really is.
I would expect no other answer from you, John. Yeah, I mean, as much as some people, because we've had folks on here before and racers and stuff, and when they say when it starts lifting, you sometimes don't know about it, but then you start pedaling like crazy, and then when it comes down, it goes so fast, sometimes you don't think about it. You just hope to God that you're going to hit straight. But that's basically, you know, a bunch of heads-up kind of guys. In the gasser situation, it's almost expected that you do lift the tires, but you, on the other hand, do moonshots like no tomorrow. You know, I can't believe that you run nitro in that little guy. I mean, you can, for the folks who don't know, nitromethane is a real thrill to put in a motor. Ask any of the surfers who at one time said, you know, it's like, because there's a ratio between fuel and nitro, and nitro just makes everything, that's where you hear the cackling, that's where sometimes you see the fire come out of the zoomies, you know, all kinds of stuff, and it's hard to deal with because you got to get the right mixture. And the folks that we had with the surfers, like, what, 2-3 years ago? You know, and when they campaigned, it was like, nitro, what's your mixture? 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes life easier on us. So when John said that he puts nitro in his car, kiddies, hold back, because there's a lot of folks, and I mean big-time racers, that hold their breath to even think about putting nitro in their car. I mean, that is definitely, you're all out when you put nitro in a car. I mean, all out, kids. And I don't mean like some bizarro little turbo tricks like you see with some classes or some Whipple Charger kind of stuff. I mean, this is, there's indents on your steering wheel when you're done running a nitro car. Now, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
I was going to say you should see the indents it does on the cylinder heads. It's incredible.
How many passes can you make on a car like that, John?
Well, I've driven all season before and just keep freshening the motor up a little bit at a time. But I've had them last a full season.
And a full season lasting means that you don't have to change everything out or you don't break anything or...
Oh, yeah, a full season means that we're just going through doing minor maintenance on the motor, not really replacing any parts on the motor, but fine-tuning is the key. If you put too much nitro in, you're going to go boom. And
yeah.
You've got to draw a line somewhere in there. Oh, we've got a pretty depth line with our car. It likes what we do.
All right, John, wherever you're at, I hope that you get to a good sell soon because we're starting to lose you a little bit. I hope we don't go to that.
No, I hope not. I've been walking around. I'll stay in one spot here.
Good.
I'm just excited talking on the radio to a worldwide broadcast here.
Yeah, well, you can. You want to make sure that you say hi to our good friends who are, if we can pull this up right now, who are listening to you if we do the alphabetical thing. But Brazil we have Budapest here, we have Ireland here, we have Canada here. We know that we should probably have folks in the UK right now, and I'm not going to take a look too much more because I'm doing it from the memory part. So, yeah, say howdy do to your new worldwide fans. Now, it's about time you get some swag together, don't you?
I don't know about that, but I certainly would like to say hi to everybody, and thank you for joining in the radio station. We truly appreciate it, and we're just a bunch of race car guys here having fun, having the time of our lives. This is what happens when you're, as a kid, you're deprived of toys. This is what will happen to you.
Twice? Yeah. You want to do moonshots on a nitro vehicle because you couldn't have a Hot Wheel. Okay. Works for
Absolutely.
Me. All right. So this is what happens. Nitro qualms all like childhood heartaches. Okay. Good stuff. All right. Now, when you went, you started originally with what? With heads up? With drag racing?
The very first race car I ever had was a funny car. I had won a jackpot at the casino, and the very next day, I went up to Flint, Michigan. My good buddy's over at Diamond Collision, and we were sitting in their shop. He's a nitro funny car guy, and we were talking about getting a nitro funny car put together for me. I got a pocket full of money, and about that time, a guy walked in the shop and said, "I know you guys run these funny cars, and my boss is selling one." I chased it down. I was to that guy's house in 5 minutes.
Wow.
From there, I laid down some money. I went and got my trailer, and I had my first funny car.
Wow. And what was that one?
That was the Ram Chargers Demon Nitro Funny Car from back in the day. It was the original Logie chassis and the original body for the car. We brought it back. I got a license in it, and we campaigned it for a little while. It was an older car, and I'm not exactly a small guy. Clarence Sanders drove the car originally, and he would be exactly a small guy, but they had to shoehorn me in there to get me in there, but I knew it'd go fast, so I was willing to do it.
Wait a minute. You said it was their demon body?
Yes, the demon body.
Because everyone's familiar with the Challenger body.
Yep. This was the car that came right after the Challenger.
Wow. Man, talk about rare. How was it to drive that car? Because that really steps back. When you got the luggy chassis, that's kind of a little bit instead. I mean, it was great for the time, you know.
Yeah, and well, I'll tell you, I'm a little bit over 200 pounds, probably a little bit more than I'm telling you. And Claire Sanders was probably about 150 pounds.
Dandy.
The car was built for him, so like I say, they actually had to shove my head back underneath the roll cage. I had to wait till I get my helmet on because I couldn't take it off in the car, and there wasn't any room in there to do anything but just sit there and do what we do. But it was a challenge to drive the car. It was so small. But again, I knew it was going to go fast, so I'm in.
Yeah, but John, was that the first time that you drag raced?
You know, back in the 70s, I've always had a nice car. Back in the 70s, I was out at Detroit Dragway with my Javelin, and we would run it out there a little bit at Milan.
All right, this is where we stop. Stop. All right, we rarely ever get anybody that ran a Kenosha Cadillac, and it always perks our ears up high and happily to hear somebody that actually ran an AMC. What did you have? Not a 401, we're thinking.
That would have been a 390 in that car. A good old-fashioned 390 with a cam and an Alibrock manifold and a four-barrel and a set of headers, and man, we went racing. That's what we did.
Gratiot Auto Supply loved you.
Oh, yeah, so did Ram Chargers, did Westland Speed, and so did Redford Speed, knew us very well. We've been close associates for many years.
Why did you pick an AMC to start out with?
Well, my dad wouldn't let me have a Camaro. He tried to make me get this Matador, and I didn't want the damn Matador, so we settled on the Javelin. I wanted the Z28 in the worst way, but I think Dad was right. He knew what I was going to do, but I ended up doing it with the AMC anyways, and it just carried on from there.
What? Wait, did your dad want you to have brown shoes also? I mean, a Matador. I mean, okay. I mean, God bless. You could have a lot of friends with you. What year are we talking about this AMC here?
This is in 1974.
Oh, so you got the ones with the eyebrows over the front wheels.
Yes, sir. Yes,
nice.
Sir.
Nice. Those were.
In fact, I can tell you, I just recently sold that car to a good friend of mine 6 months ago. I had 11,000 miles on it, and I've had it packed away for 45 years, and I finally let it go just 6 months ago to a good friend.
Wow. I mean, with everything period correct at that time, I mean, the only thing you were missing was ladder bars. You know, or the snubbers, those little Lakewood pounders in the back.
They were on there.
Oh, were they?
And so were the N5015s, the slotted mag wheels. Woo. We had it all going on. And we had the FM converter in there because the car only had a AM radio. But hey, that was the ticket in 1974, you know.
Amen, brother. I mean, if you didn't have your A-track and or cassette player in there, way to go, you. Oh yeah. Yeah, put your 6x9 Jensens in the back and away you rock.
You know? You got it. You were there. Now I can see that.
No, my grandparents told me all about that. But yeah, okay, cool.
I'm not buying it, but we'll carry on.
And John said he had to go. Bye now, Mr. Dembski. Yeah, absolutely. That's what, if you were talking about Woodward whatsoever or something, that's how you made the scene. What color did you have?
It was a gold car, golden with a white stripe on it.
Wow. No, I mean, those are sharp cars. I mean, AMC, they took so many risks. You know, it's really too bad that they couldn't get the performance up a little bit higher, you know?
I don't know. I had a couple of squirrely rides in that car. You had a little bit of nitrous on those 390 motors. I'm here to tell you, they will go. They will go good.
What gear did you have in the pig to ride on the street with that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Sure. What gear were you running on the street?
On the street, I was running a 456 gear with that car.
Really? What'd you get, 1 gallon to the mile?
Hey, gas was 75 cents for premium back in the day. Metatol's airport right down the street from us had aviation fuel for $1 a gallon, and away you go.
Wow, you had to have everybody chip in for avgas? Very nice.
I worked hard, so I always had I had enough money to go racing. I may not have had enough money for the brown shoes, but I had enough money to go racing.
Oh, my God. I mean, here you got a 456 in the pig, and your dad wanted you to get a Matador.
A Matador, and it was a six-cylinder Matador, and it was pastel purple to boot. It wasn't going to happen. It just couldn't happen that way.
Did he notice that perhaps your foot was a little bit bigger on your right side than left side?
My dad watched me play in the play box, and after I would get done messing up the Tonka toys in there, he knew, do not buy this kid a V8, but it happened anyways.
I love it. I hope to God that we can use that story more often. It's like somebody's dad knew that you were going to go way, way, way too fast. So he had the brown shoe of cars, an AMC Matador with that big old Trick 6 in it. Oh, man. Yeah, well, congratulations that you had that car for so long, because a lot of people, especially back then, it was, if you wanted to do Chrysler, it was expensive. If you wanted to do an AMC, parts were even a little more, you know, so tip of the hat to you, man, but it was different. You weren't a Camaro. Thank God you weren't a Z28.
Well, I had a lot of fun with the car. I'll never forget. It was kind of like my high school graduation gift. If I paid for half, my dad was going to cover half, and that's how the deal worked out on it. But, it was a horse of a different color for sure, but we had a ball with that car, and that's where it all started for me.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is for people that ran AMCs, and especially like the 69, you know, the AMXs and stuff like that, the Javelin style too,
yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then you saw the fine friends who came in with the holy grail of cars, quote-unquote, for AMC, you know, would be the 401 Gremlin, you know.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
How, you know, the 390s were based, weren't they based off the Ford 390?
No, not at all. They were completely a different motor. The car that I had, I actually had a Ford electrical system, the solenoid, all the electrical system was Ford, the starter was Ford. Transmission was a Chrysler 727.
There you go, baby.
Rear end was a Dana. And it was a piece to get. That's why it was American Motors. They were taking all these other cars, surplus parts, and making cars.
Well, I mean, you had one of the best slush box transmissions for that time. You know, 727s were not. And man, if you're running a 456 on the street, oh my God, your SunTac 2 must have been just pegged.
I did have a SunTac 2 in it. How did you know?
I could see. I see in the crystal ball here.
I see.
You have to have one, and you got to make sure that chrome cap is right behind it so everybody knew you had one, you know?
Yeah. And, well, I'll tell you, that big old gear in there, you know, you couldn't go 150 miles an hour, but you could sure get up to 95 really quick.
456, kiddies, I mean, for our worldwide audience, a 456, yeah, you're right. It's not a NASCAR gear. You're not going to get up to 200 miles per hour. But when that light goes from red to green, by the time I just said that, you probably have a really great 60-foot time.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah. And that's usually all it took back in the day. Nowadays, you know, some of these cars are going 5 seconds on the street. There's just no comparison whatsoever. But back in the day, that was the ticket. That was the hot ticket.
Yeah, because, man, I'm thinking, you know, because we see the folks with the tuners and stuff like that, and I mean, they almost have the point where they have a weather station that they have to look at. I mean, they're down to, they're getting, you know, numbers off for their wheelie, you know, bars and stuff. That's cool. That's fun. But anybody that has, you know, built the AMC like you did, I mean, warms the cockles of many, many, many drag racers' hearts, because everybody kind of started that. All that stuff was period correct. You took it a couple steps further, you know, because some folks, I mean, they would be happy with a 355 back there. You know, a lot of Chrysler cars came out with, you know, with a 323. And, yeah, they would beat you top end, but you got to get top end. On the street, my good friends, a 410, 411 was something to behold. 456 put you in a total different area, you know.
Well, you got to understand, Main Street in Plymouth, the lights are close. You couldn't get it up to 130 miles an hour. You could only get that 8-mile squirt in there before you got a red light. So I planned ahead.
Job well done. I mean, it's not like you could have a 225 slant and a 456 and, you know, kill people. However, if you had some kind of muscle in front of it that could twist, you know, that pig, holy Lord. I mean, you were like, you know, how did you keep the front end down?
I didn't. That's what made it so cool.
Good. You're lifting on the street. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Favorite road to race on? Oh, not race,
oh,
but go relatively quickly?
I got my first drag racing ticket on Telegraph Road, but I think everybody in the street racing category has too, so I don't think there's no virgin ground there, you know.
Yeah.
Telegraph Road used to be my hot spot, absolutely.
Between what and what?
Grand River and 5 Mile Road. There used to be a big shopping center called Corvettes, and that's where all the street racers would hang out. And we would go in there on every single weekend and hang out with the crowd. And, you know, when the cops went away, we turned it up and went racing.
And how many times did the cops go away?
They would stay around until we promised them we wouldn't do it anymore, but that didn't, that it really didn't work out well, but, there was a couple of, I could even, down by my house on Lily Road, they had a racetrack painted on the road, quarter mile stretch, start to finish line, and the police would actually come out there with their radars and shoot our speeds as we're going by the finish line and let us know how fast we were going.
As they're writing out the ticket?
No, there were no tickets involved, but I'm not going to mention any police departments
either. No, don't do that. Because they understood, I mean, you said you had an Elderbrock, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Elderbrock's had a problem with linkage, and sometimes those doggone secondaries would get stuck open on times. Normally from, like, at the red light, when somebody's next to you counting down, and doggone, when you put on your foot on the gas, and I don't know how that car just repped up that fast.
You know? Aviation fuel, that's the trick. It runs cleaner, it doesn't stick your carburetors, it just goes.
What was purple gas at that time, octane-wise?
Aviation gas, I believe, was 106. And I remember they were selling it for $1 a gallon. When they went up to $1.20 a gallon, I thought that was ridiculous.
We won't pay this.
I think it's about $12 a gallon nowadays.
I would rather pay to have nitro than pay that extra 20 cents. Damn them for gouging.
Okay. You know, I agree. I totally agree. But let's tell the nitro people to get the price down so we can burn that a little bit more. We sure like that stuff.
How much is that stuff, Ed Drum?
It's about $1,500 to $1,800 now, if you can get it. You also need a Homeland Security permit in order to obtain it. So we've been able to do that, fortunately. And that's the only way that you can buy it from vendors. You can no longer buy it at the racetrack. It's outlawed.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, could you get that at Milan when they had Sunoco over there and stuff? I mean,
not the nitro.
But you can get Avgas, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know, you would have to think in the 70s, these little airports, little pocket airports around, even the folks, the gas stations that would have an Avgas pump, we're going, let me get this straight. You want to buy our fuel for your car, And then it's like, yep, fill her up, babe.
We would just go drive down the runway, go to the gas pumps and fill them up, tell the guy up in the front what we took, and he would charge us for it. Oh, they knew we were coming. They could hear us coming. I wasn't the only one. I was one of many doing that.
Oh, my. I mean, I'm trying to think. They're hearing the purple hornies go down the center of runway 27er, and they know it's you. Okay. Makes sense. I mean, they didn't wash your windows or anything, did they? You just threw them the money away you went?
Yeah, you just give them the money, no receipt, and that was the deal. No receipt, cash only.
Amazing. And how many weeks did you do this? I mean, how many days a week? Once?
No, I'd have to fill that thing had a 456 in it. I'd have to fill that thing up about four times a week.
How big was the tank back then? 15 gallons?
It was a 15, 18-gallon gas tank, yeah.
And for the folks who are, and you should be pretty hip if you're listening to CKIWI Radio 76, you should kind of know that a 456, especially with a 390 up front, and I'm thinking you probably didn't have a 660 single pumper carburetor.
Oh, no.
You know, so you're kind of bleeding the secondaries down. Honestly, if you got 6-7 gallons to the, you know, miles to the gallon, you were doing something great.
If that's a big if. I don't think that we're getting anywhere near there.
Yeah, I was going to say that you had to be like putting it neutral and coasting a whole lot.
You know? I probably did quite a bit to save a little bit of money, but it was all good. Back in the day, the only carb to have was that 750 double pumper, and that was the key ticket back in the day, and that's what we used, and always had fun with it. I still have that carburetor.
Could you build it?
No, I did not. I just put it out of the box, onto the car, and away we went.
Good man, you didn't learn how to jet yet? Good.
I had no idea, but if I did...
I'd be scared. I'd be scared already. I mean, did you take, like, wherever you worked at that time, where were you, you know, obviously a high schooler, but, you know, unless you're, like, you know, had a big coffee can in your backyard that you dug up a lot... I mean, when you got your paycheck, I mean, did you go, oh, I got to go to Ram Chargers now. I got to get one more thing.
Oh, every Friday. As soon as we got a paycheck, that's exactly where I would go. In fact, they had a Ram Charger shop within a quarter mile of my house. So, you know, we could just walk over there and get parts if we needed them.
So you developed a pretty good rapport with the folks?
Oh, absolutely. They knew me they knew me very well.
Oh, yeah, just by your credit card. Oh, good. Here comes John. Ching. Job well done, man. I mean, really, we're you hit all the right notes when it comes to that AMC.
Well, you know, back in the day, you didn't have much to go with, and what was available is what was available, and we used what was there, and we had a fun time with it back in the day.
Well, yeah, because you had to put the Gabriels in the back with the air shocks. Look how high my car can rake.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah, because you didn't want to get the Mickey Thompsons going, you
know, but clean. No.
Make sure you clean those white letters on those tires, son. That's what the women look for.
Oh, I'm telling you, that was part of the game, you know. It was just, you always had a clean, shiny ride, make sure it run good, and there was just no getting away from having a good time with it.
What did you wax it with?
Turtle wax, back in the day.
Hoorah.
That was the big ticket. That was way before the Meguiar's people came in.
Yeah, but it was right after the Blue Coral guys came in, and your arms would look like Arnold Schwarzenegger afterward. But there was something about just putting that rag on, and especially with the front fenders on that AMC. I mean, man, I bet you that thing just gleamed under streetlights.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had a European guy, a good friend of mine. He came over and looked at the car, and he was amazed with the detailing, the styling of the car, the fenders, the little spoiler up on the roof. He had never seen one, and he just thought that was the coolest car he ever saw in his life.
It was. I mean, why did you store it for so long? Why didn't you dust it off and take a waltz on the quarter?
Well, it was my very first car, and I didn't want to let it go. But, you know, since that time, I came up with a lot of other cool cars that I would rather drive. So we just kept that up on a hoist in the garage there, and it never moved for, well, about 40, 45 years.
How many cars you got in the garage, John?
Oh, I think there's about 6 or 7 of them in there now.
Okay.
We've got some. I've got a really... really nice 68 Roadrunner with a 496 and nitrous in it. course, we've got this couple of Chevy 2s. Have a rat rod in there with a big supercharged motor. What else we got over there? We got all kinds of junk over there. A couple of Model A's and Model T's and enough to keep you busy.
How hard did you pull this lever? Holy
cow! As hard as I could. And I was relentless on the lever.
I would have been standing on it. Holy jump. All right, talk about such. We got to roll it up, but what didn't we talk about in about a minute, John, that we should have covered?
Okay. Well, one thing I do want to, I got to give my group a plug, the Great Lakes Gassers. It's a great group of guys. We've got a bunch of semi-professional drivers in there. We've got a couple amateurs. One of them is Danny Quinn, but I'm not going to mention his name on the air. And but we have a great group of cars, of guys. You can see AMCs in our group. You can see MGs. You can see Ford, Chevy, Dodge, pickup trucks, cars, you name it. It's there. We're there to put a show on, and that's what we do.
Yeah, and you do it well. Sponsors, John?
No sponsors.
Good man, you.
No sponsors. Just my back pocket. That's the only sponsor I have.
We got to go back to Vegas, man. We got to have the connection. That's how there is to it. John Dunsky, the Rotten Orange Gasser, the Chevy 2, with the mystery Chevy 2 coming out sometime this summer. Oh, kids. You want to wait. I mean, a lot of people know, and on a side note, a lot of people know John Force and drag racing. I still can't get next to those teeth, but, you know, with the family and the whole nine yards. But if you really want to know who the true ambassador of drag racing is, you just heard 45 minutes of him. Right there, John Dunsky, kids. We can't wait to see you out there, sir.
You guys are making me blush. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you, thank you. And I'm really looking forward. I'd love to see everybody get out and just check our group out one time. You'll be back again. You can't get enough of it.
You sold us, and we ain't kidding either. But right now, CKIWI Radio 76 rolls on with the Doobie Brothers rocking down the highway here on your home from high performance hits of the 60s and 70s. Hi, Radio 76. Ba-dum-bum. You know, honestly, really, sometimes you can get pretty jaded about some drag racers, you know, or sometimes some drag racers feel that they're pretty important, and they are. Everybody is important to themselves, and you know. And you really do get to see the John Forces of the world, and sometimes you kind of go, is he playing a part, or is that the real deal guy? Now, we just about 47 minutes of John Dunsky. You tell me. You know, and something that was an unscripted environment, and because of COVID, we can't have anybody in, but, you know, you tell me, is this guy not the real deal? How many times did he say he wants to put on a real good show? Great Lakes Gassers do. John Tompkins, all of the people, you know, put on great stuff. Really good show. You know, you can thank Mr. Tomosik for that, and we're talking Tim at that time, Steve too. But the Great Lakes Gassers, John's not wrong when he says if you see him once, if you have, even if you don't like drag racing, not necessarily don't like, but if you've never been exposed to drag racing, yeah, you could see the 10-5 guys, you can see, you know, the heads up guys and stuff. That really is drag racing in 2021. You know, but if you want thrills, if you want, you know, cars that are colorful and they have names on them and, you know, and they do wheel stands and, you know, these guys really hang it out. Mr. Dunsky's probably one of them. There was a gentleman, doggone, you know, I can't remember the gentleman in the gold Mopar that they were putting him on the bumpers. And when we say on the bumpers, I mean, they do a wheel shot that even I would hold my breath and I'm sitting in the booth. I can about imagine when that car comes down, it's not like riding on a pillow. But why do they do that? They do that for you, you goofball. You paid your money to go in there. And these people, it's kind of like if you went to a concert. These guys don't come on stage with ratty old blue jeans and some beat up denim shirt. they're going to give you a reason to, when you go back out to your AMC and you climb into your Pacer, you're going to say, now that was a show. It's kind of like one of those Jay Giles shows from the 70s and 80s, you know, when your hands, or the Springsteen, when your hands were so tired from applauding, because it was their cool, which makes you happy, which makes them happy, which makes you happy again, and it starts that circle. And if you've ever witnessed that, it's a great place to be if you're in the audience, and it's even a better place to be if you're the performer. You know, and it's not like these guys are like, you know, Little Red Wagon people and stuff, and they're here to put on an exhibition. I mean, Great Lakes Gassers actually do race. They hammer it, you know. I was taken aback when John said no sponsors, and I'm thinking, God, how many people in Great Lakes Gassers have sponsors? Because the abuse that they put their cars through, and I don't mean, you know, but they don't baby them. And that's coming out of people's wallets, you know. For what? For you. You know, for you to have a great time. I'm telling you, I will go anywhere where the Great Lakes Gassers are. I mean, Gassers in general, but Great Lakes uniformly. And I don't know if that comes from Tim Tomosik on down. Steve has come out of the, I mean, his cousin, is cut out of the same cloth. But somehow, some way, even the guys that are in the snowmobile folks, the William Alexander group, you know, they kind of have that same gig. Hopefully, it starts with the Great Lakes Gassers. And we've seen the nostalgia guys, the Super Sox and all that stuff. And they all have the same, like, here comes a groundswell of folks who want to put on a performance for yourself. We're going to race, but we're going to have something when you go back to that car, when you drive all the way back home to where you live, you're going to say, you know, oh, that orange car was cool. What was the name of the thing? Rotten Orange. Oh, yeah. You know, or that White Falcon. Oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, or whatever. The cool thing about Great Lakes Gassers is most of the time they have names on the side of the cars so you can remember who the hell they are. So you don't do that same silly thing of, oh, good, Fox Body versus Black Camaro. Which is okay. Everybody and their brother has a Fox Body. You know, Mr. Glover, you get a free pass because you're really, really good in it. You know? But if you have a name, and that's what we told the folks at Ubley, you know, at the driver's meeting, please put a name on the side of your car. We can promote you. That's kind of what CKIWI Radio 76 does, is that we would really like to see the sport catch on again. We can go to, I can tell you all but probably one drag racing place in the state of Michigan, where if you brought four friends with you to go see a race, there's probably four people in the stands. That's not how you grow a sport. You know, what are you doing for the kids coming up and stuff like that? But these guys with the Great Lakes Gassers, and we're just using them as an example, they don't mind if you come up. You're intimidated first because that's a hell of a car you have there, sir. You know, but they will be more than happy to come talk to you about it, more than happy to have you take a picture next to it. You know, hell, they'll take a picture next to you, next to their car. You know, you want to open up the door, take a look, take a look. And you can't believe there's actually friendly people like that, because you've seen other racing places that maybe they're a little intense. You know, maybe they're thinking of 100 different things, and that's okay. That's kind of how their stuff goes. You know, but these are the guys that you want to have a beer with. And I'm telling you, the proof's in the pudding. We had Tim Tomosik on a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we just had John on here, John Densky. You know, tell me, match up those things with what we're telling you. You know, we're not pulling your knee. Obviously, this guy's, you know, they're as genuine as they come. And if you want to see drag racing how drag racing used to be, You know, it's kind of like music. You got, like, the music nowadays. You know, you got the music of the founders, and then you got the music in between. And you just find the music you like, and that entertains you and goes. Somehow, some way, the Great Lakes Gassers, the nostalgic guys, you know, and we talked about this to Steve Tomosik. And we said, God, we wish we could get a different name than nostalgia, because that sounds old and decrepit. No, and it's not. You know, a classic, whatever you want to call it. You know, that's why when we started CK, there was so many, we had so much pressure for people to what they were trying to get us to say or be.
Oldies.
Yeah, oldies station. And it was like, and a matter of fact, it's on our webpage. We will never, ever, 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 ever become an oldies station. Because what's the first three letters of oldies? I'll wait. Yup. So why would you start some, I mean, if the genre was crappy, would you want to listen to crap? No. Therefore, you don't want to listen to old. You want to listen to music that motivates you. And that's kind of how we pick the playlists here. You know, we want to be the John Denskys of music. We want to be, you know, the Gassers or the Nostalgia Guys or the Top Fueler Guys or whatever. We want to be the pedal to the metal station for you, and we think we got it down. All right, and that's why we bring and we try to expose people around the world to the Tomosiks, to the Carrie-Anns, to BBs, I mean, to folks like John Densky. You just walk away and you know, you get a cold diet orange Faygo and you put your feet up on the desk and you kind of go, now that was fun. What a day it's been today, friends. Wee-hoo, kids. Thank you for being with us from your home. The high performance hits of the 60s and 70s. John Sarver, we will see you, I think, next Tuesday. Until that time, my friends, always but always follow your dream, right? See ya!